This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Probably Game of Thrones.
Well, aren't we nasty today?
I want to see Castle!
I'm just chilling.
Thanks.
Bazinga.
Bop.
Yeah, baby.
Is there something I took out that you want back in?
That's what I was waiting for.
Okay.
Bazinga. Bazinga. Bazinga.
You got me straight tripping, boo.
Woo!
Is that Ross going woo?
Everyone deserves sexual satisfaction, even Pete.
Everyone deserves sexual satisfaction, even Pete. Welcome to Good Christian Fun.
I hate this new trend.
I'm Kevin.
I'm Caroline.
And we're at Have Good Christian Fun. That was a quote, I think, from our previous episode with Allison Miller.
Satisfaction. Everyone deserves satisfaction.
Your perception of your own voice isn't quite right. You think you're more of a nasal nerd than you are.
Oh, man.
When you're just like a regular voice nerd.
I don't like that you're in control in this way and you get to take my quotes out of context.
If
now.
You have a request, you can put it in. It will be considered.
All right, okay.
It'll be considered.
All right.
On some level.
I'll take it.
Good Christian Fun, of course, if this is your first time listening. You saw the guests we had. You're like, I don't like Christians or these two people, but I got to check this guy out. Good Christian Fun is a podcast where we talk about Christian pop culture, like the Christian movies, music, and entertainment that people grew up with. Stuff only 90s Christian kids remember.
Yeah.
And we look at faith and who we are, what we've done and what we have to beg your forgiveness for through the lens of, like, you know, media stuff. But we're not here to make you go to church or to preach to you or to make fun of you either. We're just here to have fun and make sure everyone's having a good time, but not too loud, but, you know, keep it down past 11 and it's going to be okay.
Yeah, consider it like a reception at your friend's house. So live it up, but you know, you got to drive home at the end.
Right.
Keep it cool.
Like, and no one loves fun more than us. But at the same time, let's be smart and responsible.
The neighbors
about it.
Are mad.
It is Wow or Now Volume 2 today on the show. Wow or Now Volume 2, a game that we're going to play with our special guest. But first, before we introduce him, we do have another installment of a segment called Hey, What's Going On with Lauren Daigle?
All right.
Lauren Daigle is headlining at Austin City Limits Music Festival.
Wow.
And that's what's going on with Lauren Daigle. Oh, yeah. And then she mentored on American Idol this season.
How'd she do on Coachella?
I'm sure she did fine.
Okay.
It was as good as Beyonce.
You didn't
probably give
an update on that.
I forgot she did it. Anyway, that's what's going on with Lauren Daigle.
Look up, child.
Lauren Daigle, an artist we may or may not hear from later in the show.
That's a... This segment is just becoming us updating her tour dates for her.
Yeah, we're kind of
reading her website
online. We're like doing her PR now in a way that I'm not comfortable with. All right, let's introduce our very special guest.
Let's do it.
Ladies and gentlemen, he's a comedian, he's an actor, he's an improviser and writer. You may know him from Single Parents or The New Girl or his film Having a Party. Ladies and gentlemen, give it the hell up for Lamar Woods!
What's up?
Hey, man.
Hi. How y'all doing?
Hi, we're good.
Welcome to the show.
That was a great intro. I love that.
Oh, could you actually be quiet? The song is playing.
Oh. Our first move is shushing our guests. That sucks.
I'm kidding. Okay, I did. You were. Yeah, I felt bad immediately because you did have like a respectful look in your eyes. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. And you like got quiet.
Well, now I feel like I could correct you because you said having a party, but it's a party.
And you said new girl. It's just new girl.
Is it just new girl?
Like a dad.
So I'm your dad.
Signing onto the Facebook.
Yeah, my dad does call it that. He's like, hey, how's the new girl going? I'm like, that show's over now.
Great. We're gonna do the intro again. You know him from New Girl, or maybe Single Parents, or his film, It's a Party. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up once again for Lamar Woods!
Yeah, what up, what up? What's good?
Even better. Now you shush us.
Yeah. What's good? I'm out here, baby.
Yeah, baby. Yeah, baby. My wife.
Oh, man.
Oh, boy. I write things down, and then I want to keep eye contact with you guys.
Yeah.
So I won't look down.
That's nice.
But that's what even weirder, because you're looking right at me.
Yeah, Lamar.
With, like, panic in your eyes. Too.
I don't know. I don't know what people prefer in the room. Because here's what Terry Gross says. She says she likes Terry Gross, the most famous interviewer in the world. What? What?
I'm thinking of Very Gross.
Oh, it's Fish Air. I'm Very Gross. She's not ever in the room with the people. She's like in Baltimore, Philadelphia, wherever she lives. And so it's all remotes. So they're always like in a studio in whatever the local NPR affiliate is that they're at. And then she's just talking to them like a ghost. Like there's no one else in the room.
Yeah. Weird.
So when she's having like these intimate conversations or like grilling Kevin Hart about his tweets, she's not there. But then she says, I prefer that because then I can look at my notes the whole time and be writing things down, which I do get as like a strength.
That is nice.
Yeah.
Huh.
But if she was in the room, she would be kind of a detached weirdo, right?
Yeah. I think you can look down at your notes when you're doing the intro.
You're just saying you prefer not to have eye contact with me. This is our roundabout way of getting there.
I like looking at y'all. I think, yeah.
Okay,
I mean, I've been trying
you.
To. I feel like more. You're, it feels like we're
bouncing.
Having more of a conversation.
Yeah,
I
think so.
I prefer it too.
It's about connect. You're like Jackson Maine. You just want to get another look at us.
Yeah, yeah.
Lamar, thanks for joining us on the show.
Thank you for having me.
What's your background with faith and religion and things of that nature?
So I'm from Atlanta. That's where I grew up. And then I grew up Jehovah's Witness, and that was like, I was born into that religion.
Can you tell us what that is like? Because I don't know.
I don't think we've had anyone on the show that's had.
Am I the first J-Dub?
Maybe. Or maybe someone dabbled it at some point, but I don't think anyone's grown up in it.
I'm glad to represent.
Please tell us what it's like.
So Jehovah's Witness, is the way I like to describe it is, well, the thing people know the most about us is that we don't celebrate holidays.
Right. Like birthdays even,
No birthdays, and no Christmas, no Halloween. No, yeah, none of them. Pretty much none of them.
Well, what's the thought process behind that doctrine?
I don't know. It's not fun. It's like, you know what would be fun for this religion?
It's not a fun-based theology.
Yeah. The idea is basically like the holidays are sort of pagan rituals that Christianity sort of incorporated into the faith.
Which is true.
Yeah, and then but I think the reason why they're so strict on it, which speaks to like the bigger... The philosophical idea behind a religion, which is like there's basically what they would call the truth, right? Jehovah's Witness truth, and then the world, which is like everything else, and that and they would say like the world is like controlled by Satan, right? And so the way that it put that in like plain form is like anything that's like not of the Christian like specific Bible. And it's outside of that is worldly. So like hanging with friends or drinking and, you know, fornication and all this stuff that, you know, we don't want to, that are bad for us is worldly, right? Mm-hmm. Or going to Hollywood and becoming an actor.
But Jehovah's Witnesses don't go full Amish, though.
No. They still like do electricity and all that. And then I think it's just like a way for, you know, a way to understand like how you could fall out of the faith if you are in the world too much or these worldly kind of things.
Yeah.
So that is what I grew up in. So it's a very strict religion. Like you can't play video games. You can't. I don't even watch horror movies because we weren't allowed to watch horror movies growing up. So if I watch one, I'm like terrified.
Great, because you were like desensitized to it.
Yeah. So like anything, like it could be like even the weakest scary movie and I'll just be terrified.
Even like a thriller like Get Out.
Yeah.
Is kind of, oh, gosh, I see the effects of it now.
You're terrified.
Oh my gosh.
I'm so scared right now.
It's true. Yeah, even like a political thriller is a little much.
Yeah.
Like House of Cards.
Yeah. Right. I was like, Kevin Spacey, no. It was crazy.
Well, Lamar That's was a little ahead fair. Of his time
yeah,
on that one.
You were correct.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, back then.
So what was, yeah. I mean, what was that like practically as a kid? Was it a frustrating experience or were you mostly, I mean, it was what you knew and you were sort of comfortable
right.
with?
Right. It was only, honestly, if I'm being honest, it was only frustrating with like the holidays. Like everything else I didn't really have a problem with. But I feel like this religion is really hard on kids, but great for an adult because it's like if you want to kind of get out of like your bad habits. But as a kid, when you're growing up, I mean, there's nothing worse than like seeing all your kid friends go out and trick or treat and dressing up. And then you're like, why can't I go with them? Or they're talking about what they're going to get for Christmas. And you just like don't have any gifts at home.
Did you tell them that, or would you like make up a lie or something about it?
Oh, I would tell them. I was known. They knew me. They was like, oh, Lamar doesn't do that stuff. Okay. But one time I did sneak out. For Halloween.
Chuck E. Cheese.
No. Yeah. That we also can't eat pizza. And I was like, I'm going to get pizza.
I thought Chuck E. was Jehovah's Witness. Yeah. The
that's
mouse
what
himself.
He's saying. He's
no,
like
he's notoriously pro birthday party.
Oh yeah. He loves birthdays. I bet he was an ex Jehovah's Witness. That's what I am now. I celebrate my birthday so hard.
All the time.
Yeah. It's coming up, actually. I got to figure out what I'm going to do.
Ooh.
But, what was the question? Oh, yeah.
Did you tell them? Oh, they knew.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
oh,
we snuck out. Yeah. So then I was, my friends. So now that I think about it, there's no way my parents didn't know what I was doing because it was Halloween. So I was like, basically, like, I told my mom and dad that I was going to spend a night at my friend's house.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not going to go trick or treating. It's just a sleepover. And then obviously we got there and then I went trick or treating with them. And we like dressed. I dressed up like LL Cool J, and
awesome.
It was probably honestly, if I'm being honest, it was like the most fun I ever had doing that. I felt guilty afterwards, but it was so fun. It was awesome.
Ladies,
I was like,
love.
I can't believe I've been missing this.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure from your
ladies love
cool Jehovah.
Yeah, they're all over it. Yeah, from your perspective, you're like, I really don't know what's harmful about this. This is just
it was very confusing. Other than that, I was born in a religious, so everything sort of made sense to me.
Yeah.
That all changed when I went to college and I started studying religion. And
yeah. Why did you decide to do that?
Well, I was studying business, which seemed like the right thing to do. I don't know. I didn't know. I just picked business, and I was like, well, I guess that seems like a good major.
For valuable. Money. Yeah.
Yeah, but it was like not interesting at all. And then I was looking up kind of majors before my after my second year, and I was like just looking at philosophy and religion and sociology, and then I was like the religion classes look cooler. I mean, it was just as simple as that. They just looked more interesting. So I started taking them.
And up to that point, like, did you feel like, oh, I personally am really engaged with being a Jehovah's Witness, or this is just like kind of a thing with my family?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm leaving out a big part of that. So before I went to college, my parents got divorced in high school. And that's sort of when the Jehovah's Witness, the structure of it fell apart because my dad was like a high up person in that. He was an elder, what they call an elder.
Oh.
And he got divorced and married somebody who was not a Jehovah's Witness, which is like worldly, right?
So did he get like booted?
He didn't get booted because he kind of preemptively like got out. He was like, hey, before anyone knew, he was just like, I'm going to step down and take care of this. And then next thing you know, he got married to my stepmom now who's, I mean, she's like Christian. She's like Southern Baptist, but I mean, it's like just like, I guess that was like a big deal for them, you know. But for me, I was like, of course, and then she's going hard on Christmas. She's like, we're celebrating Christmas. I don't give a fuck, right? So like, she was like,
I love this, mom.
Yeah. She was like, can we cuss on here? Sorry.
Oh, yeah,
absolutely.
I know. I should put that in the email. Swearing aloud and encouraged.
Oh, yeah.
Please.
So I was about 18 when I celebrated Christmas for the first time at her house.
Wow.
And then.
What was that like? After all that time of
you
not
knew
celebrating
what it was
Christmas,
like, right?
Yeah, it felt like it. I mean, it was. I was actually feeling a lot of guilt doing it, but I think it was always a source of kind of frustration. It was just like I was halfway participating in it, and like I wasn't buying gifts either, so I was kind of like taking gifts.
Oh.
And I was like, but I didn't know. I just felt like really anxious about the whole thing because I'm like, I'm not doing it right, but I don't want to go all the way in because I feel like this is wrong. But then, you know, after about 3 years of doing it, you're just like, well, I can't keep taking gifts and not doing it and not actually celebrating.
Especially when
you're
like 18, too.
Yeah.
I could, you know.
Yeah. So then, so now it's just all, you know, it's all good. I get down, you know.
Mom stay with the church at all?
Well, you know, it's funny. After my dad left, she kind of kept us going for a little bit. But she was always the kind of the more chill parent in that sense when it came to that. So I think once he was out, it was kind of like she was, not that she stopped believing, but I think she just kind of was like, yeah, why, we don't, you know, we don't need to go to Acapulco anymore.
Yeah.
So we kind of just stopped going. And then I actually got, this is all still in high school. And then I kind of got more into it because I was like, I was like the last one or something. Maybe I'll keep trying to keep this going. And I kept going to the Kingdom Hall. And then we had.
What'd you say, Kingdom
Hall? Oh, the Kingdom Hall. That's what Kingdom they call it, the church. Yeah, they call it a Kingdom Hall. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's interesting. Also, going back, does truth have like a different meaning in Jehovah's Witness than it does here? Or like than it does normally? Because you know, sometimes like with Mormons, instead of saying God casually, they'll say like Heavenly Father.
Right.
Or like worthy. Instead of like righteous or holy or something like that. Right. You know how sometimes those words are special?
Oh, like that's the word, man?
Yeah. Or is that not? I might just be
not really. It, okay. But they do, they use it as almost like a colloquialism of like how to, like if I wanted to know if you were a Jehovah's Witness, I would say, are you in the truth? Like just like way of saying it, but not necessarily that the word means something different.
Okay.
But it's just something that they call
being a follower of Jehovah's Witnesses. Okay.
In the truth, are you in the truth? Is their version of Hail Hydra? In
that sense. Yeah. That's kind of like that. Truth. Yeah, yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah, you go. You in the truth?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Like one time I talked to a Christian scientist on a long airplane ride, and instead of saying like sin or being bad, they call it error, which I thought was really interesting.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, it was a really. And it like meant basically the same thing, but it just to hear that word used so commonly of like the reason, you know, we are fallen is because of our error.
it's like a computer slang, program. Like we have our own slang.
Yeah.
It feels like people in Lamar's business major more like, we made an error in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think that does speak to like so much of the synonymous nature of so many of the major religions where it's like you would say in the truth, other people of like even like a Southern Baptist denomination might say, are you walking in the spirit?
Or they would say, are you a believer?
Yeah, are you a believer?
Right, yeah, it's the same kind of thing.
But it is funny, like you do have a differentiated language with each other.
It's so weird.
Yeah.
But I, you know, they do have a lot of like, it's a weird nitpicky thing. Everything is basically Christian still, but it's like they have a little, they're sort of like, they like really like to analyze the Bible. You know, I didn't know that at the time how, I can't think of the word. What's the word when you think the Bible is like, it's like the way it's written.
Inerrant? It's either inerrant or infallible. I get them mixed up.
Yeah, like it's completely
like it's
written
literally
by God.
All true.
Yeah, literal.
By God.
Yeah, they take it like completely literal. So I was like, so like they have these, like, for example, like they believe, when I say they, I'm not speaking as someone from in the religion anymore. I'm not in it anymore. But the
spoiler.
I don't know. Yeah, no, I didn't. I know
we
I didn't.
Kidding.
I missed it. Past. That, yeah. I was sorry. Yeah, I'm bad. I'm supposed to be a writer. I'm supposed to be a good storyteller.
Okay.
But the here's an example of something that shouldn't be a big deal when you think about it. But it's something that makes it different from like other Christians. It's like they think Jesus. They say that Jesus died on a stake, which is like this. You can't see what I'm doing, but it's basically like a stick up and down and not like this, which is like, I think actually historically accurate, but I don't know, but it's something that they feel like
it's
they
like
have to
very
make,
important to
yeah, that, that we have to acknowledge that difference is like, you know, they really harp
that's
on those sort of like, it's really interesting. But I think that's why I like to study religion, because they're very into the studying of it. Yeah.
Well, to me, like just from the things you've mentioned too, of like we don't celebrate holidays because those are actually pagan holidays. Mm-hmm. It sounds like Jehovah's Witnesses are even more into like the history of the church over the traditions of the church.
Yeah.
Because we were raised Christian and like a lot of the Bible was pretty literal, at least the way we were taught it.
Right.
But it was still like, but you know, we do Christmas because like, come on, Jesus was born on Christmas.
It's fine. Yeah, yeah. Like, it's all good.
Right. But or like Halloween sometimes is fine or something like that.
Right,
right. But like, we wouldn't get that. Like, that wouldn't be a big, you know, hill we would die
on. I think it's, I think it has a lot to do with how new the religion is. It's like, because it started like within the last century. I think it's just reacting to like all of that.
Okay. Also, correct me if I'm wrong. But is Jehovah's Witness also the one where they believe like there's 144,000 people that get saved, and like that's it, and it's capped,
ever,
and the rest,
yeah,
of
there's no,
ever.
No, they don't, the number don't change,
it doesn't grow,
So if you ain't in it, then you out. But the reason for that is, the good news on that is because the goal for most Jehovah's Witnesses isn't heaven. It's like they believe a big part of us. A big part of, I could talk about this all day.
Oh, love it! So, yeah, no.
A big part of the religion is a very apocalyptic. So like they really believe the world's gonna end pretty soon, like within the next few days, and they have reason to believe that. Look at the way things are going. But the goal is to be resurrected on Earth. So like basically Armageddon is not just completely destroying the earth. It's like we're basically washing it and then recreating it as a paradise. And we will be, all the like regular people would be there. And then the 144,000 are more going to heaven. They're like almost like going to work kind of. Like,
it's
like they've been like selected like to be like with up in heaven with God. So
not as if the rest of us are excluded from being with God. But you kind of hope like you're on Earth because then you get to be around everything.
Yeah, you'll be around your family and all that. I always looked at it, like I never, when I was growing up, I never like was bummed out by the fact that I was not part of that number.
Yeah.
Like I was like, no, I want to be in a paradise.
Oh, that's so cool. Okay, well, thank you. Because I had this misunderstanding all this time.
A lot of people do. They're like, what do you mean? How are we not going to heaven?
That's it. Yeah, you're like, surely you guys have counted yourselves, you know?
Right.
So it's all the same team. It's just that's the elite squadron.
And yeah,
it
exactly.
Like goes up and comes.
The Avengers, if you will.
Yeah. Sure. All the comic books that didn't get made in the movies. But
what a missed opportunity.
I'm sorry. So getting back to your story.
Oh yeah.
So high school, you like dive back in, kind of down on it.
So I got back in. I was holding it down for the family. I was like doing Bible studies and shit. And then we just had this problem where I was actually dealing with going to my dad's house with my stepmom when they were celebrating holidays, and I did have a discomfort with it. So I would tell the elders at this new congregation about it, and then their answer to it kind of like turned me off a lot, because I think their answer was just to stop going over there. So like basically, I mean, it's like
not see your
dad. Yeah, like basically like to not be around him. So that was like, and this is, I don't want to say that this is like blanketed to all Jehovah's Witnesses. This is specific to my experience. Right. So I just want to make that clear. But the that idea to me was like, well, one, also, I didn't even know these guys that well. I had just started going to this congregation, so I was like, I don't even know y'all. So, like, they're also telling me not to see my dad, who I do know really well, who's, like, a great father. So that was also, like, you know, I was having a hard time with that.
Yeah.
So, but that being said, I didn't, like, that wasn't the moment I lost my faith or anything. I was just like, I don't really want to get down anymore. So I was, you know, I just kind of stopped going.
Yeah, it definitely lessened your investment. When you saw, like, it probably looked like they were trying to apply a one-size-fits-all system or sort of thing to like something that was very personal to you and didn't take into account the individual that you are, and certainly the individual that your dad
was. Right, yeah. Having that, then going into studying religion with that as the backdrop, it was like my mind was a little more, I think, open to like just what is going on. And then I don't know when it started happening, but you know, I mean, the school, it was Georgia State, so it was a state school, so none of the teachers are really allowed to promote any religion. So they really teach it like academically. Mm. So it was just like, you know, you're just learning stuff that you're like, this just don't add up. Like even the way we read the Bible, like I took a class on the Bible and they broke it down in a literal sense,
literature way. Oh yeah.
Yeah. And you're like, they're like showing you like in Genesis how like, wait, in this part of it, they talk about God this way. They talk about God differently in this way. But in my mind, it was like all the same.
Yeah.
But it was like, no, these are actually, when you read it, like in a way, it's almost like you're reading like Game of Thrones. And then all of a sudden, like you start reading, like it's like T.D. Coates. I don't know. Like it's just like a completely different narrative.
There's an Emily Dickinson
It's like, what is happening?
And then there's just like erotic fanfic in the middle of the Bible at some point.
Caroline's just describing her library.
That's
like the Watchmen at some point. And, isn't that funny? Like, because we've gone through the same experience too, or at least I have, of like, yeah, the Bible is this manual that we were given, like straight from God, of how to live. And seems to be contradictions, but they're not actually contradictions, you know, like the more you read it. And then when you have someone explain it to you academically, it is kind of like, shut up. No, it can't be right. And then you're like,
no, it's not.
Yeah. And you're like, it was right here all along, and I just like willfully didn't see it.
Yeah.
And the truth of it being more of a genre-wise, at least, kind of an anthology, more than like, it's a book, and here's chapter one and two and three, but like an anthology of genres, so you're going to read Psalm differently than freaking Revelation.
Right,
you're going to read Mark. I think that is more fun in a way, like totally
it makes it way more
just from like an academic distance. It's just more fun.
It made me value the book even more, I think, because it made me see it as such a great, like, just there's so much more to, like, just so much more into like how it was made. So but that was a big deal. And then, you know, then I started studying, like, you know, Islam and Buddhism and stuff, and then you're like, man, these religions are tight too. And I was like, man, these are all kind of cool. And and we had a lot of the times that you have to go to the place to like to do assignments. You have, so I have to go to a mosque go to a temple and stuff. And like just doing a lot of stuff like that was like, I never really lost my faith in terms of like, I always believed in God, but it just, I became very like curious about other faiths, and then I started shopping, and I was jumping from religion to religion, and I was
and doing, like getting invested in them.
Yeah. Oh, wow. So this is after college. I mean, this is like partly during college, but then after, even after. So I started practicing Buddhism for a long time, or Zen, and then I got into Baha'i, which was like almost seemed like the perfect religion for me, because that was like, y'all know Baha'i, what they believe?
Yeah, what's Baha'i?
So that's
all
like,
I know is Rainn Wilson is really into
Baha'i. Yeah, he loves Baha'i. He's all about it. But it's basically like, if that this guy Baha'u'llah in Iran basically had a vision in prison where basically God came to him and told him that like Jesus, Muhammad, and, you know, Buddha were like basically all come from the same God or whatever. So when you're in the church, you're kind of reading from the Bible, you're reading from the Quran. It's like a little bit of everything. So it's really like inclusive. So it was like, that was like, I used to get down with that for a little bit.
That sounds great.
And then
it's kind of like the Traveling Wilburys of religion. So it's like a super group of Roy Orbison and George Harrison and Bob Dylan.
What are you talking about?
Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
There was a rock group in the late 80s called the Traveling.
Composed of those guys?
It was Tom Petty, George Harrison, Roy Orbison, Bob Dylan, and then maybe one other guy.
Weird.
I know what you're talking about, but I can't remember
so
the
bizarre.
Other guy.
Yeah, so those are the guys.
With Baha'i, is there like a salvation narrative?
You know,
in those two, or is it more like this is just a practice in your life?
I'm not sure. I think so. Mm-hmm. I don't want to misquote, but I'm sure there is though, because it definitely had the feeling. It's the funny thing is every religion sort of turns into like a religion, even like the ones that are kind of like,
we're not a religion.
Because once I was like, this feels actually, it felt incredibly similar to Jehovah's Witnesses as I was doing it more. But I mean, that's no shade to that.
Yeah.
But
yeah, sorry, I don't need to make you an expert on
something.
Oh,
no.
I just need to do some more reading.
Oh, no. I kind of hopping in, hopping out. Mm-hmm. Now, the last 10 years, I've been just doing Buddhism. But yeah, I kind of
get that. Can you tell us about that? What Buddhism's like for you?
I love it. Yeah. I mean, I like the, I think for me, maybe because in Hollywood or whatever, there's the ego is like a very dangerous thing for me. So the, you know, Buddhism sort of like really goes in on the ego and like not sort of like not being a slave to it. So, you know, and then meditating sort of helps you understand how your brain works. So then you're meditating and then you can see when your ego is taking over or your attachments to certain things. Like, obviously, like, I have an attachment to being successful or being famous. And if I don't get it, then I'll suffer. And then it's like, the goal is to, like, basically lose that attachment. So if I don't get that thing, I won't suffer. And it's like, sort of like, it's very practical, I guess, in a sense, which I liked about it in terms of just an immediate, like, satisfaction and, like, how I was living my life.
Yeah.
But, you know, as far as, like, belief is concerned, I still believe in, like, one God and Jesus and all that, but it's just like that religion seems to be the practice that helps me like living my life better.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's great.
So yeah, that's kind of the journey. That was wild. Yeah, I took y'all on a
ride. That's amazing.
That's
a really interesting
and really it's cool to be at a point too where you can confidently, again, like Baha'i was probably appealing because it's like, oh yeah, all my old friends that I was studying and looking into in college.
Right.
And even in a way of like almost kind of like sampling Buddhism for like daily practice stuff. And where it is like the practical application is super helpful. Because you were talking about the ego on like a macro level.
Right.
But on a micro level, I'm sure it's very helpful with like writing stuff and creative work and just like the meditation and art of doing nothing before making the something that you're going to make every day.
Or just
day.
Like the daily anxiety around failure or whatever. Right.
And being able to listen, like listening is key. And like not, you know, talking. Like one of the big Buddhist things is like, not having bad speech, which is like not talking shit about people, which is like very hard to do and very hard not to do in Hollywood.
Sucks. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That's really
it's like, but you know, that is a great, that's just cool. Like, I mean, that's just helpful.
No, I'm still learning that one. Gossip.
Yeah.
Ooh, it's so fun though.
Yeah, I'm trying to make that appealing in my mind, like eliminating all bad speech about any other people.
It's really hard to do.
What do you channel it to instead, like when you have those impulses?
I don't know. I try to, like, if I find myself doing it, I try to, if I justify it and maybe like I'm learning something out of talking about this behavior.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if you end up, you know how when you're with your friends and you're kind of complaining about another friend, I'm like, okay, we're essentially gossiping about this friend, but I'm hopefully doing it only to explore my own understanding of myself by talking about this person's flaw.
Because sometimes that can be helpful in being like, okay, I'm not alone and thinking this is like difficult or whatever.
Right.
But that is like a tightrope between like just talking shit
about
someone you care about, you know, or just being like, how are you dealing with this? We're okay. We're good. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and there's a difference of like, I'm really concerned about this guy, blah, blah, blah. And then I'm really concerned about what a huge dick this guy is being right now.
I'm really
like,
concerned about this.
And in fact, can you call me later? I want to tell you more about what he did.
But it's such a good, like, it's such a good reminder all the time, because there have been so many times where I've walked away from a conversation that felt good, and then I immediately am like, why did I say all that? Like, that's not really how I feel holistically about that person.
Yeah. Caroline did that tonight before you got here with a conversation that we
had. And another
actually,
thing.
Actually, kind of. Yeah. No, and then I'm like, why did I do, you know, and like in the moment, it kind of does like build intimacy with a person, and it's like an easy, not an easy, but it's like a nice way to like talk with someone about something.
Yeah, yeah.
But then again, very quickly, it just edges into like, wow, I like really regret that I said that about.
But
those
then,
people.
Do you ever wonder when you're like, because you get connect with another friend, you're like, we're connecting on hating on this other person, and then you're like,
they're
wait,
sure
do you talk
about
me?
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, you definitely had this conversation about me with someone.
Who are you going to connect with?
I just lie to myself. I'm like, no, they don't. They never do.
Yeah. I'm the one friend that no one's talking about.
No one talks about.
That is one thing. It's like paranoid or like sometimes insecure. I can get. I don't imagine people ever talking about me.
Oh, really?
I'm never like, they're getting together and they're gossiping about. I don't think it's possible for some reason.
That's
so
funny.
That's great. That
I don't
means
know
you're
why.
Not a slave to your
I don't
ego.
Know if that's, or is that you just not like thinking highly of yourself enough to think
I'm not even worth talking about.
Yeah. Well, but I think it's probably healthier because like, wow, it's so terrible to think about what people are saying about you. Like it's never a good exercise or anything.
There's a lot of Venn diagram overlap too in the way that like it works with Protestant Christian circles and like small groups where it'd be like, oh, prayer requests were oftentimes just a very thin guise for gossiping or trash.
Straight up bragging.
Or straight up bragging. Caroline was telling me about an example in which someone named names of a sin they committed. Like, it was with this person.
It was like
first
a friend we all knew. Yeah, it wasn't there. Yeah. It was like, wow.
Which is like not necessary for prayer, you wouldn't think. God's not like, wait, who is it? Oh, blah, 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 blah.
Oh, yeah. Let me see his name just so you know. Don't get confused, God.
I was getting messed up about
it. That's funny. We love talking. Good, we love like doing that.
Humans.
But you know, the good thing about meditating is it sort of you get become like self-aware. So when you're in that situation, hopefully if you're practicing enough, you're going to you'll feel it really clearly because your brain.
Because you're like observing yourself.
It's really cool. Like, you can kind of feel yourself turning into like, all right, this is my brain. My mind is going like this.
Yeah. Do you feel like meditation gives you more awareness about yourself or others?
Oh, definitely myself.
Yourself.
Like, it's like you spend so much time with your thoughts. Because a lot of people, when they meditate, they think like, oh, there's just nothing happening. But it's certainly like when I'm sitting, it's just constant. Like, it's like they call it like a tiger. like your thoughts are like a wild tiger and you're trying to like tame it, but it's like, it's just like I'm watching. I kind of, if you want a visual of what it looks like in my mind sometimes, is like, this is deep. I'm getting, y'all really getting in this. But it's basically like, it's a house, there's this house, and every sort of thought I'm having is inside of it. And then if I'm successful, then the house will explode, and then all those thoughts will go away.
Whoa.
Like, everything is in there. Like, everything you can think of, like, nothing is off the table. Like, and that's kind of the one issue I have with Buddhism, is that it's very, like, they're, like, it's very nihilistic. So it's, like, nothing is important. Like, it's, like, completely letting, like, that's why monks are just, like, you know, and they're not doing anything.
Right.
But so when you're, like, you know, everything that you could think of that is part of your life is inside this box. This is just how my mind is operating.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm not doing it on purpose, but it's just how it happens when I'm meditating. But it's just sort of like letting go. But that is almost impossible to get to that point, because you're just watching every thought you have like circulate in your brain. So you end up knowing what you kind of like stress about, and like, and how, and you kind of can, when you're in that situation, you sort of can deal with it a little better.
Huh.
But it don't always work. But.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. Because, I mean, I've only looked at Headspace, the app.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which we're not sponsored by, so
which
I don't know
not,
why we're
not. I would like to be
them.
Because I've only done the beginner level.
Yeah, Headspace
clearly.
Is tight. Yeah.
It's great. But the helpful one I saw was, like, imagine you're, like, sitting by the side of the road and your thoughts are cars going by.
Yeah.
So hopefully, like, the cars to slow down or something.
Right.
But I don't think the idea is that you'll ever stop seeing cars. It's just that you'll be, like, detached, and instead of, like, running out into the traffic and, like, trying to deal with the cars, you're just, like, watching them go by.
Yeah, that's a peaceful way to
look at
it.
Kind of like a nice detachment. Yeah.
I feel like I run in traffic all the time.
Oh, that's what we're all doing.
To run in traffic is
I'm driving seven cars. I'm crashing.
Yeah.
Well, the two things that reminds me of when you talk about meditation that way in the image of the house is, I feel like some of my favorite writers have kind of described writing that way in the sense of, I was listening to this one interview and the woman was talking about, I write so my mind will be completely empty.
Wow.
So I have to think about what I'm thinking about and I have to write it down and completely process it so I can empty my mind.
Oh.
And then I don't think about it anymore.
Right, right.
Yeah. It was Tolentino, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Have you ever had that happen, though? Because I've had that happen where I like think about a problem until I like hit the end almost. And then I actually like almost can't remember the conclusion I came to.
That's so interesting.
Because like my brain finished it or something.
Yeah, I've done that a little bit with writing. Mm-hmm. But the second thing it reminds me of is conversations I've been having recently with friends and people where it feels like an underlying principle that's so important for everyone's life and whatever the situation. I was talking about romantically in this sense, but it applies to friendships and then also work stuff as well. It's just self-awareness.
Yeah.
What am I thinking right now? How am I actually feeling about this? How am I processing those feelings? What do I look like right now? Can I make fun of myself?
Right.
Can I step out myself?
Mm. Yeah.
Kind of divorce my ego enough to have the distance to be like, I kind of look like a dumbass right now.
Yeah. That shit is helpful. It can make you successful. Because if you, the first time I was able to put it in practice was actually on stage when I was doing improv. Because, you know, when you have a bad, because improv is all off the top of the head, but you're like, if the show is going bad, I used to just like, it just would be happening. Like, it'd be like, man, this show is just tanking. And there's nothing you can do about it. But then this self-awareness thing helped me be like, in the moment of the show, and you're like, you can actually adjust the show as, oh, like, the show is going bad, but I can actually change it now if I'm like paying attention to what this moment is, as opposed to like living in the failure of like the show not going well.
Yeah.
And so that kind of helped me a lot. I was like,
oh man,
I know exactly what's happening. Like, you know, I know exactly why the show is going bad. Can we change it? Can we adjust it? Like, it's not over, you know, like the bad behavior. Sometimes when you're drinking alcohol and stuff, you can't do that. But like, even in relationship stuff, when you're like, you know how you're in an argument, you can like feel yourself in it if you like are self-aware. You're like, all right, let's stop this. But sometimes that's why the alcohol is bad, because you can't do it with alcohol.
You're
just
all
like
in the way.
You just keep going.
Gosh, but, isn't this just like adulthood too? Is figuring out how to observe the stuff you're doing and be able to stop it, you know, or like adjust or fix or like be aware of the effect you're having on others.
Right, yeah.
Like, that's so much of, like, conflict resolution.
Right.
Like, I think about this a lot with, like, me and my husband or something where we're fighting and usually, you know, you're so emotional, you kind of just more care about winning the argument or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And what you're supposed to do is, like, step outside, act as if you're a third party.
Right,
what would be the compromise you would tell these two people?
Yeah,
and
totally.
Now, like, enter back into it, you know? Or I just, like, check myself and be like, oh, I'm just like, my ego is being attacked or something.
Right.
Or, like, I think my intelligence is being attacked. That's not what's happening. Like, I can
right, yeah.
deal with it or something.
Yeah.
And it's kind of dope. Growing up,
I always
think
it's like kind of like Karate Kid when the guy would be like, yeah. Miyagi just would, when the bully would be in his face and he'd just sit there and, like, not do anything.
Uh-huh.
You're like, yeah, he's like, that's like power, like that he's just like, he's in control of the situation.
Yeah.
He's not reacting to his ego. Like, someone all in your face just like attack it, like
uh-huh.
getting in your grill, and then you're like, it's actually the weaker thing to be like, to react to it.
Right.
But it's really hard to do, though. I mean, I'm not good at that yet. But
oh, yeah, it's a lifelong problem. Okay, so the question I have for you too, because I feel like this relates to Christianity, and I'm curious like how you approach it from Buddhism too, is sometimes like that notion of like my ego is in the way, or in Christianity you'd say like my flesh or like my selfishness or whatever,
right.
is like always questionable. So often if I really want something, I should like be suspicious of it almost, because
right.
it's probably like a nefarious intent or something inside
right.
of me, rather than just like, sometimes I think things are just like good needs that you want.
Right.
Like
right.
it's not a bad thing that you want to be successful in your job. Or
right.
whatever.
Right.
And so it can sometimes devolve into just like beating yourself up for just like basic needs
yeah.
or desires in your life, you know, of like,
yeah.
I want a boyfriend. God, why aren't I like satisfied with my life enough or
right.
with the Lord enough to like not want a boyfriend anymore?
Yeah.
And yeah. And it starts to be like in like, you know, the desire for wanting to be free of pain or suffering over things
right.
you just don't have control over, you do get nihilistic to the point where, like,
right.
you deny yourself even good desires.
Right.
How do you do
yeah.
that?
Yeah. I don't know. That's a good question. I think that it depends on how hardcore I would like to be in. And if you really, like, I go to, you know, the thing is like, there's a hardcore idea of Buddhism that's just like, it's really none of the things. It's like there is no,
yeah,
like there's no good desire.
Nothing.
Like any desire you're having is, but it's not like in a sinful way. It's just like these are the things that's going to cause you pain. Like your desire to have a boyfriend will cause you pain at some point. But I on this sort of self help side of like the therapy side of my life. That's
yeah.
not saying I'm in therapy, but the thing that that's helping me deal with that is like just being recognizing the humanity of like who we are, and that it's okay. Every feeling we have is sort of like natural, and like I'm really, because I have that problem too, I really don't want to shame any feelings I have. Like if I feel a certain way, I'm like, I don't want to shame myself for feeling that, because I'm a human being and I don't need to be, because it's only going to make it harder for me later anyway, so why do that?
Yeah.
But you know, it doesn't really line up with the non-attachment thing, but I think there's, you know, like love is a big thing that I want, and that's like, you know, that's something that I'm okay wanting, because it feels like it feels pure and like it feels like right.
Yeah.
But you know, there's like, you know, money is probably bad. But you know,
yeah.
there's like,
depends.
Right. Yeah, depends. Yeah, yeah, but you're also like, but I do need to like eat food and have a house. And,
right,
like,
right.
Is it terrible that I want like slightly better food or so, you know,
yeah,
like,
or
you get
a guest
to these
room
levels
to host people and to
right.
extend goodness
yeah.
to people.
But
and,
I think
yeah.
I think you have a good point too of like those things working in tandem with each other, of like self-compassion and like valuing your own survival instincts
right.
and things like that, and just like good pure things you love, and then
right.
also like trying to feel neutral about the things that you can't have,
right, right,
and being okay with it.
Yeah.
Work well together, right?
Yeah.
I think your point of like not shaming your own feelings too
yeah.
is another big part of adulthood, where mm-hmm. someone told me this a while back, and I think about all the time, where it's like every single feeling
mm-hmm.
that you've ever had is totally valid.
Right.
Whether the feeling actually reflects true reality or not
right.
is like TBD, and like
right.
work it out. But you feeling pissed off about this, sad about this, over the moon about this. It's all valid, and you have to like right. you have to kind of respect and give honor to that feeling before you right. go like, no, don't think that, don't feel
right,
that,
right, right,
yeah.
and like let yourself process it from starting from that assumption. Like it's okay, it's actually good. I feel
right,
like this.
Yeah,
yeah. I think it helps you learn yourself. Like,
thank you, Caroline, for mentoring me all these years.
You're welcome.
That's what I've been trying to tell you.
Anytime a friend quotes another friend to me, I'm like. Bitch.
It wasn't a friend.
No, I'm kidding. Hey, I want to be the one that's quoted. My ego.
That's so, yeah, that
I'm
ego is real.
I know.
But yeah, no, that's how I've been kind of dealing with, or at least recently. But there is like a weird thing where I'm like, if I become more, when I become successful, it then these things start to get distorted because like,
yeah.
oh, I have enough money to eat like whatever I want. But mm-hmm. now... what does that mean? Do I want to eat like whatever I want like every day? You know what I mean? Or do I want to like go like drive like to like 5-star restaurants whenever, you know what I mean? It's like mm-hmm. Sometimes these things can get confusing and blurred and stuff. And then
yeah.
I think that it's just like, yeah, but I'd like to study myself. So I'm like, what is that feeling? If I feel upset, why do I feel that way? It's just, and then being able to control how I react to it is another thing, but at least being like, oh man, that really made me mad. Like, I was like, you know, and stuff that you're like, I was surprised I was upset about that. Like, something happened the other day. I was like, the person did not intend to upset me, but then my reaction to it was like annoyed. And then I had to be like, why am I mad about this? And like, really go like, think about it. And then I called that person and then basically told them why I was upset, but in a very like non-confrontational way. And they mm-hmm. were totally apologetic. It was like the easiest thing in the world. Because the reality mm-hmm. is no one, you know, a lot of people in our lives really don't want to hurt us. Like, I don't think they want to. And when they do, it's usually by accident. Or yeah. it's usually like they're not being aware of their own ego.
Yeah.
And then, but then how we react to it kind of gives or takes of whether it's going to turn into a conflict. But mm-hmm. I'm trying, but that, you know, it's tough sometimes.
That seems like the important part.
Yeah.
It's not like how well are you doing the rules? It's just right. like, are you thinking about it at all? Which is good.
Yeah, because most people are just moved.
Yeah,
just
you're just
like,
not even thinking yeah. about it.
It's so easy to yeah. not be self-aware.
Yeah, yeah, that's the easy thing.
And that's why you're funny too, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. what is right. being funny if not like just... almost an excess of self-awareness sometimes
right.
and like being able to create that stuff.
Yeah.
So, well, thanks for sharing your story, man.
Yeah.
It was
yeah.
really
thank
nice
for getting
to
into
hear.
It.
No, thanks for letting me. I haven't talked about it in a while.
Please.
Totally. Well, we'll take a break and we'll be right back with more good Christian fun.
I'm going to take a big piss.
Ew.
This HeadGum podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Welcome back to Good Christian Fun. It's time for volume two of a game we call Wow or Now.
Wow.
Oh, Owen Wilson.
The way this works, Lamar, is this is a game kind of about the sensation when maybe you're on a road trip, you're flipping through the dials on the FM radio because mm-hmm. you're also in a place where iPods don't exist.
Right.
And you come across the station, you're like, wait, is this like a Christian song or something?
Right.
And that sensation of like, you're not sure if it is or not. Right. So the way this works is we do it in three rounds. I play a snippet of a song mm-hmm. and you have to tell me if it's a Christian song, which would be a wow song, okay. or a secular song, which is a now.
Okay.
So you say now or wow. Now, of course, is now that's what I call music.
Right.
And all the songs I've picked here are from one of those compilations, of which they are, as of recording this, 69. They just released volume 69.
Oh, wow. They've been going hard, huh?
They've been going very hard.
Should I have invested in that, huh?
Yeah, right?
Yeah, that's surprising.
Like I wonder CDs? What the kind of economics of
who's
that.
Who's listening to that?
Of course, that's now. Yeah, but obviously. Then the Christian version of that is that they did start in 1997, mm-hmm. I think, putting out Wow. Wow music, which is all Christian hits.
I bet it stands for words of worship or something like that.
Something
yeah,
like
that's
that.
Pretty good. You're pretty good at that.
Wow.
Words of worship.
How familiar are you with Christian music?
Yeah, what's your exposure to any Christian pop culture?
I remember Evanescence. I don't have like a huge. That was like when I was Jehovah's okay. Witness, we weren't allowed to listen to Christian music, which is kind of wild.
What?
Yeah,
that's funny.
Yeah.
Wait,
so,
do you listen to any music?
Music in general.
Classic music.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Or like just any. Like what were the lines?
Oh, like the lines in the songs and the Christian
the
songs?
The lines in the sand of what music you could listen to or not.
Yeah, I was confused by
was
the
that
Christian
confused?
Lines.
Oh, sorry. That was very clear in my head.
I was like, what?
Caroline was pointing at a mirror
dodge
on the table.
Rules,
where
guys?
Are the lines, yeah. fellas?
I was like, I don't know what the lines are, but I've crossed them. I listen. I love music, actually. So.
But no Christian music was allowed.
It was like you couldn't listen to... Yeah, it was like you were not allowed to sing like gospel or anything like that. Or like, yeah, so like I just never got into the Christian. Okay. I never like heard. I heard them. I like heard the songs, but yeah. I never like knew like the names or anything like that. Okay. But as far as music goes, I listen to everything. I was a musician for a long time.
You used to be a rapper, right?
Yeah, I used to play guitar in a band. I was a rapper.
Oh, cool.
What was the name of the band?
It was called Black Iris. Yeah, and we were
evocative.
We were half rap, half rock, a little punk. You know, if I played it, it would sound like Christian music, actually.
Probably. Wait, yeah. What year was this? Because rap rock, like, was it almost, this might be a bad comparison point, mm-hmm. Linkin Park-esque?
I would say Linkin Park, but even more punk than that. Like,
sure.
More Offspring punk. Like,
whoa, yeah, more yeah. punk than Linkin Park?
Yeah, yeah.
Can you
imagine that?
Boy,
that was a hot take right there.
They got so
that.
Far.
But,
okay. All right.
Yeah.
So this might be a little bit of a test for you.
Yeah, this is gonna be. I'm really excited to play this because I want to see if I can, okay. you know, pick it out.
Yeah, but I'm not playing esoteric songs. These have at least appeared on one of the Wow or Now compilations.
Gotcha.
Top hits from whatever
the year
is. I didn't
realize that was. Has that always been the way you play it?
Yeah, and we've had this conversation about the revelation that these
wow.
are from Wow or Now.
Wow. That's
at one
what
point,
I call
you
a
did
game.
Think Wow was Kids Bop, and then we had to clarify that.
Yeah.
Have that conversation as well.
My memory is a treasure.
So I feel like I keep saying Wow now.
Wow. It's hard not to. It's a little contagious. So, first round, each correct answer is worth 10 points.
Okay.
Second round, if you can get it before the first line of the song, before they start singing, it's worth 25 points.
Okay.
And then after that, it's worth 10.
Right.
And then the third round, that's worth 50 points.
Right.
And if you get it before the first line of the song, it's 50. If you get it after the first line, it's actually worth 0.
Okay.
So we've raised the stakes a little bit.
Okay.
So the sooner I know, the better. If I think I know, I should say it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Although there's no penalty in the first round, 10 points before or after the first line, who cares? Because we're just kind of getting used to the rhythm.
I'm keeping score.
You're the guest. Would you like to go first or second?
I'm ready. Let's go. I want to go right now.
Go first? All right.
Yeah.
All right, Lamar, this is your first song. Tell me if this is now secular or wow, a Christian song.
That's now, right?
That's a trick question.
No, it's not. This is now.
Yeah.
This is Hanson's Mbop.
Yeah, yeah.
Mbop.
That was easy.
But they were Christian.
I was just like,
They were. They were Christian, but this was not a Christian. Okay, they were not.
They wouldn't have put it on. They put it on now. That would put it on now.
It was on a now CD.
Compilation. Right. Again, it's like whether it appeared on Now or Wow.
Okay, no matter that's the affiliation. Right. So he got 10 points.
Yeah, it's not called God. It's Mbop. So 10 points on the board.
Spell Bop backwards.
For Lamar. God. All right, second song, Wow or Now.
That's Now.
That's Now. This is Sometimes by Britney Spears.
Oh my gosh.
I'm surprised you didn't identify it. Was Britney not a thing for you growing up?
No, I knew this was a Now.
Okay.
I just didn't know who it was.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Gosh. All right, 20 for Lamar. Last song of this round.
Okay.
Round one.
You were the word of the
This is definitely a Wow. Yeah.
What's her word?
This is Hillsong Worship with a song called What a Beautiful Name.
It sounds great.
Which is, it's very... I do like some of the Hillsong aesthetics of like huge synths.
Sometimes the hype is effective on me.
Yeah.
In a certain context, I mean, we need to visit Hillsong just to see what it's like.
Yeah.
We should.
We should.
And then record it for content.
If it's too early, then no. Okay.
All right, we turn it to Caroline.
Eight.
Here we go, Caroline. Here's your first song, Wow or Now.
Honey, why are you calling me?
This is a Now. This is Lips of an Angel by Hinder.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
I love that voice. Man, this is like a prime. I think I was right in high school.
Lane.
Yeah.
Name it sounds so sweet. Coming from the lips of a because he was straining. Coming from the lips. All right.
Yeah. So that angel is not the angel.
No. It was a metaphor for a lady of some sort.
Unbelievable.
He's talking about a different kind of angel.
Disgusting.
Yeah. Second song for Caroline.
Is that you?
Is that what you think I sound like? I don't understand that at all.
Take as much time as I want.
You can on this first round, but then we speeded it. This is a
Now.
It's a Wow.
It's a Wow?
It's a Wow. This is
damn it.
This is Queen, Amy Grant. It takes a little time.
Wow, I really thought that was like a Phillips sister.
Well, it kind of sounds Sheryl Crow-y too.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is one of her latter day hits.
I missed an Amy song.
Yeah, that's brutal, actually.
That really sucks. Man.
Okay, here we go. Wow or Now.
When it like bounces back
and forth. What are you doing? You. This is a Wow. This is BB and CeCe Winans.
Yeah,
I knew that right away.
Up Where We Belong.
Yeah. You,
could you tell by the music?
Maybe.
Or did you know the song?
I know BB Winans' voice. Like, I know that. I know those voices. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, feels like home.
You're hustling me.
I think so.
I think I might have set it up.
Yeah.
Like, I won't know anything. I do listen to a lot of
stuff.
Like, I'm sure I've been. I just couldn't name the Christian music, but I can. I definitely know it when I hear it.
Oh, I left off with Lamar's intro that he used to be the CEO of Dove Records. He was the A&R guy that signed most of these people.
Yeah.
All right, so at the end of round one, Lamar's got 30. Caroline's got 20. Next round, 25 points each. You got to answer before the first line of the song. I will pause it, and then I'll give you the choice to answer. If you answer after, it's worth 10 points. So that's the tier
system.
All
right, so answer before we hear
the four words.
Yeah, okay. Before the lyrics. All right, first song for Lamar.
That's Now.
It's a Now. It's Crush by Mandy Moore.
Dang.
I know. I was literally growing up with all of it.
But you were listening to Mandy?
Yeah. I mean, I was all
the radio.
Those albums were like, that was always like on the, we were always like, we know all that. We know those
songs.
That's
true. That's true.
I was like the audience for that.
It's funny now, too, how a song like this at the time, there's probably a lot more snobbery attached to it. Like, oh, Mandy Moore, like what a lightweight, blah, blah, right. blah, blah, blah. But now, like 15 years years removed, now it's like, oh, that's just a good song.
Yeah.
Like you can't really, with time, it's just like, snobbery doesn't really exist.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. Like it's really well produced.
Yeah, so 25 more for Lamar.
Freaking Bryan Adams. Suppressed a wonderful voice for so many years.
Next one.
Bryan Adams, not Bryan.
Yeah, not Bryan Adams. Summer 69
I don't
guy.
Care about disrespecting him.
That doesn't count as singing.
Okay. This is a wow, I think.
This is wow. This is Revive Us by Anointed, which
I
was
surprised.
A kind of gospel pop R&B trio.
You're very good at this. Our guests are always better at this game than I am.
Well, the last one to play this was Carl, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and he knows music very well as well. Yeah.
We love music. I love music. probably more than filming.
Wow.
But I don't know. We'll see. I'm probably going to get it wrong now.
We'll see. All right, number three. Here's number three.
It's a now, I think.
Answer is now?
Yeah.
This is a wow.
Oh, no. I got too confident.
This is a song called Reborn by Rebecca St. James.
Whoa.
Wow. I think I got fooled by the electronica stuff. Mm-hmm. I was like...
See, it gets a little harder in rounds two and three slightly. So, yeah, the music video for this is great. She is in a dystopian future where she's running away from, like, Satan or something.
Really?
I don't know. Yeah.
I love that.
Humans are dead.
The funny thing is, I probably would be a way bigger fan of, like, Christian music post-college because... Now that I like love religion, so I was like, oh, all this music would have been way more cooler for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Than when I was like in high school and stuff.
It's kind of like the Mandy Moore thing, like with distance and like kind of academic. No,
I don't think you would
all
think
right.
it was cool.
Yeah, I'm probably going to regret it. I feel like someone's going to take that statement and use it against me in 5 years.
I'm going to use it in the drop next week. Yeah. All right, Caroline, we had 50 points in that round for Lamar. We're starting your
40,
round.
Right?
Well, no, he got 25 and 25.
Oh, I forgot it was 25. Okay.
Yeah. Why are you trying to play me?
Wow.
Wow.
Sorry. I'm the scorekeeper.
It's happening
me.
Now.
All right. You ready for yours?
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go. Here's your first song.
Oh, this is a now.
This is a now. This is Stronger, What Doesn't Kill You by Kelly Clarkson.
Yeah, I love this song.
She's terrific. I found out in that first season of American Idol that one of my like great aunts was her vocal coach.
Oh,
when she was just like a choir girl in wherever, Texas.
Yeah, that's awesome.
She is. I hope she has the best career in her
life. I like her a lot.
Yeah.
She's great.
She's terrific, yeah.
Great.
All right, song number two.
This is a wow.
Final answer. This is a wow. This is Genuine by Stacey Orico. Stacey Orico, who we have not covered on the show yet. She was our first test pilot that we never aired. She had a song that you might know. There's gotta be more to life than chase around every temperature. She had like a teeny tiny bit of crossover.
Okay.
All right, 25 for Caroline. Next song.
Okay, cool. Nice. Feeling good. I think I sound like Hillary.
Back,
that's what my freshman and jack off.
Wow,
that's it.
That's the intro. That's 14 seconds. That's
okay,
a good amount.
Shot in the dark. A now.
You light me up. This is now. This
that's
is
right.
Vanessa Carlton.
That's
Pretty
right.
Baby.
No, I didn't know, but that felt cool.
That felt
I was just like, yeah, that the way he delivered the answer, I was like, oh, yeah. I was like, yay for Vanessa Carlton. Shout out to Vanessa Carlton.
She has other songs.
Yeah.
It's not just 1,000 Miles. All right, round three.
For a second, I was about to ask the dumbest question. I was like, are you playing? And I was like, no, he's not. Like, this is me.
I'm playing, but then I also know it. Yeah. I know. I want to play. I do want to play.
Oh, you
want
to play?
But I can't.
I could run it.
Now, I could have a responsibility.
Could you? Yes.
I don't know,
I can do
with
it.
Great power.
What, yeah. Make a playlist. The Wower Now.
Do you
that's
think that's
it.
All I do is just put together playlists for this show?
I think you like with numbers, like a mathematician. You... Like,
this really, took 15 hours. Yeah. This was my weekend.
Oh my God. Are you okay?
All right. This is final round. 50 points before the first line, 0 points if it's after the first line.
Okay.
And this is where it gets even a little bit more trickier. More tricky. So here we go. First song for Lamar.
That's a wow.
Wow?
Yeah.
Wow.
This is Now.
Oh, man.
This is from Now That's Why I Call Music, Volume 69. It's Better by Khalid. Khalid?
Oh, man. I like that guy.
I should have listened to him a little bit. I don't listen to him enough.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's great.
What's his big song right now?
The one I always remember is Young, Dumb.
Oh, yeah. High school kid. Okay, yeah. That one's good. Yeah.
I do feel like an old man that it took me a second to realize Khaled, DJ Khaled.
Are different people. Oh, same. Yeah. Because yeah. I thought Khalid. It was like a shorthand for people to like, call him.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we're gonna drop the DJ.
Hey, yeah. Like, my father is DJ Khaled. I'm just Khaled.
Yeah.
All right. Next song for Lamar.
It's a wow.
This is I Need a Miracle by a band called Third Day.
Wow.
Can't mistake those tones.
Bobo Eddie
Vedder. You had no hip-hop, but some Christian hip-hop on there.
Well, you know, I don't know if you'd be shocked to find this out, but there's very little Christian hip-hop on the WOW compilation.
Oh, that's right.
Because otherwise, I was looking for like, surely Lecrae's on like a 2016 or something.
None?
Are you into Christian? Do you listen to any like Lecrae?
I like a couple of them. I mean, I don't know their name. Like I know when
Kanye.
I hear it, I know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he's Christian rap.
Come on.
Yeah, he's
I mean, Ultralight Beam is a fairly Christian song.
Oh, man.
Truly. You got to go to one of those services.
What, one of Kanye's Sunday services?
Mm-hmm. We can get an invite.
We can get an invite?
You know people.
Those are strange. Have you watched or listened to those at all, the Kanye Sunday service stuff?
No, I haven't.
He did one at Coachella.
Yeah.
What is it like? Is it?
It seems actually kind of cool. It's just music the whole time. And I haven't looked into it a ton, but it's just him and a giant band and sometimes a choir. But everyone wears the same clothes. So it has like a little bit of a culty look to it sometimes.
There's an aesthetic.
But they're just like singing the whole time. It's like hours of hanging out in what I suppose is his big backyard or something.
Mm-hmm.
But then he turned it into a performance for Coachella. But I don't think that was like its intended purpose.
Yeah. I feel like we could do Kanye on this show. Because it's always been there.
That'd be an interesting one.
I mean, he seems very Christian. I mean,
he is.
Which is why it feels weird that, like, because I think Jesus Walks is awesome.
Right.
But then that, like, the Sunday service stuff feels like a weird commodification of it.
Yeah. Well, especially when we started selling shirts that said, like, Holy Spirit.
For $80.
Really?
No, like $200.
God. Yeah. And after the MAGA stuff, it's almost like, no, but we're still cool, right, guys?
With
the MAGA, he's actually the most evangelical Christian in music
like
right now.
He went in like a weird circle. Like,
He did a loop. He's basically, mercy me.
He's basically Franklin Graham.
Yeah. Kirk Franklin Graham. That's who he is.
That's great.
All right, final song for this round for Lamar. Got 50 on that one. Let's see if he gets 50 on this one.
Don't count, right?
Just vocal affectations don't count.
I think this is a wow. I don't know. That was a guess. It was a wow.
Final answer?
I mean, it was a wow. Okay,
it's a wow. Closed off. This is Now. This is Bleeding Love by Leona Lewis.
Keep Breathing.
Oh, that song.
Wait, you think it's Keep Breathing or Bleeding?
Yeah. Bleeding.
Oh, is it Bleeding?
The look
keep
of
Bleeding
panic.
Love.
I thought it was Keep Breathing too. Keep Breathing. Keep Breathing.
Love.
I thought it was about like jogging.
jogging.
That's it. I feel bad that I got that wrong. That song is incredibly popular.
What does it sound like?
It's bleeding.
But it's a, it's an honest mistake.
Yeah, we get it, Karen. Yeah. Thank you. We were wrong.
Well, no, I'm just, I wasn't
No, play
sure
it again. Yeah, it's like,
okay. What is she saying
Let's,
right here?
Double check. Yeah. And I want you to listen.
Yeah, just forces a listen to this song I've heard a million times. And
oh, man.
Keep breathing.
Okay, so 50 for that round for Lamar. What's the score at right now between the two of you?
Wait, you got, so he missed the last
one,
right?
He got third day, and then he didn't get the other two.
Okay, so right now... 50 plus 50 plus 30. You're at 130.
Okay.
I am at, what's 75 plus 20? 95.
Yep.
But I have yet to do the third round.
That's right. All right. Everything all right, so let's all go.
I got it. I just have to get, I can't do math. Keep going.
Okay, here we go. First
Me either.
No.
I'm really bad at it. Like,
I
embarrassingly
right
bad at
I
that.
I beat you? Okay. I can still. Wow.
This is now That's Why I Call Music 69. Tequila by Dan and Shay.
Who's that?
Dan plus Shay. I don't know, but they're on now That's Why I Call Music 69. Motherfucker. Whoa.
What'd you say? You got mad?
Probably some YouTube something. I'm not going to say the word again.
Wait, you think he sounds like Bono?
Oh, he's country.
So this song is about tequila. Yeah. I love
it. Yeah, it's very, it's like synthy country, which synthy is country. Not a.
It's all about the accent, which is funny. Mm-hmm. Like if you had been singing that straight,
and it's all about jacking up.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. It's all about jacking up.
All right, song number two.
This is getting intense.
Yeah, it is.
Someone's wrestling their junk drawer.
Ooh, I love sound effects at the beginning of songs.
Driving their car away.
That's a good 26 seconds of information.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, not much. I'm going to say this is a now. Turning all hills in the mountains. You love being a little trickster. You love just
this
being
a
little
trickster.
Is this a now? Is
this
a wow?
This is a wow. This is a song called Free by Jenny Owens.
Oh, what's up, Jenny?
Dang it. Oh, poor Jenny.
That's good, Jenny.
Well, we got one more.
You fooled us.
Yeah.
Because he's in 130. No, you would take it if you got this.
I would.
Yeah, really? Because 95 plus 50 would be more than 130.
Would it?
My dude.
Yeah.
Okay.
I want the person I'm going against keeping score.
I like a podcast where we're like debating whether the addition
numbers
checks
yeah,
out.
Yeah, I think we need to talk about that. Like, what is the
you
math?
Break it down.
That's
like,
the
what's
real game.
The truth about that?
Birthdays about and math were not allowed in Jehovah's
Witness. We were not doing that.
All right, final song.
Oh, boy.
Final song.
Okay, I need this.
All right.
Listeners, send your positive energy to me right now. Okay, I think that's a now.
Oh, no.
Final answer?
Really?
Oh. I don't know.
Final answer?
Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah.
I keep fighting voices in my mind that say...
This is Daigle.
This is Lauren Daigle.
Darn it.
Let me finish. Lauren Daigle with the song You Say, which appeared on the Now That's What I Call Music song 68. Caroline won!
How could
wow,
you
Wow, on
that?
A technicality,
I
really.
I was trying to trick you!
Wait, so is this a Christian
It's
artist?
A Christian artist, and it's a Christian song that appeared
really
on
a
Now
it was
compilation.
A song that's in, like, Pitch Perfect.
Yeah,
which one?
Very,
I can't remember.
I mean, this
What's
is like,
name?
This is a someone like you, basically. She's
yeah,
kind of like
song.
An Adele knockoff.
That's what made me think it was wild because it almost sounded, I was like, this is not Adele, but it
like,
must be like a kind of an Adele
it's
thing.
It's like yeah. LaCroix Adele.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
She sounds just like a.
So final score, Caroline, read it off.
145.
To 130.
Right? Wow.
Yeah, that's right.
Wait, so what did you get?
Yeah, 50
yeah.
plus 95.
Yeah. I got 145 and you got 130.
Oh, so you did beat me, yeah.
Doing the math.
Wait, I think we should do that math again.
I know. Well, I always I get competitive, and then if I do win, I feel bad because I'm like, you came to my house. You're doing this out of the goodness of your heart.
I'm surprised I got. I felt bad when you asked me if I heard Christian music, and I was like, no.
That's fine.
It makes you better because I don't. I haven't heard Christian music.
No, I mean, if experience with Christian music is our barrier of entry, we're not going to have more interesting people on the show.
Nobody would come on the
show. Well, I was surprised how I did it well.
You were very good.
Yeah, you were excellent. It was a game well played. There was just a few, it really could have gone either way.
Yeah, but that's the trick is sometimes with Christian music, it just sounds just a little off.
Right. I will say though, Lamar got more points for things that he was confident of and sure of and answered immediately. You got more points kind of just tossing things.
It was truly a 50-50.
Ended up in the same area. That was fun, though.
Oh, well played, sir.
And I did foreshadow it with the What's Going On Lauren Daigle segment at the beginning.
You did.
Oh, yeah.
A little clue. But, I really wanted you to say wow, and then you get mad when you were wrong, because it's on a now. Right. I'm really sad we got deprived of that moment.
I'm sorry. I'll get mad at you still, if you want. Do you want me to tell you I hate you? I'll do that,
yes, please.
Gotcha.
No. It's good. It's just good podcast, but, whatever. We can try it next time.
You wanted more attention.
We'll try it next time.
Mix it up.
All right, but for now, we've come to the close of the show.
Yes.
We bring it down, we bring the lights down, the candles up, the scents are going. Lamar, on this show, we don't promote ourselves and plug our projects. We lift them up to the Lord as a sacrifice to Him.
That's right.
And by that, I mean, your social handle and, dates coming up you have, performing dates.
Right.
I wouldn't recommend you lift up actual dates you have coming up.
Okay.
I mean,
you can.
I'd like to know. I'm interested.
We'll start with Caroline.
You can lift me up to the Lord Jesus Christ at Caroline Farts on Twitter and Instagram. That's my name. That's what I chose. And I would like to lift up a good album I've been listening to by a band guy named Drug Dealer called The End of Comedy.
Drug Dealer?
Yeah, I know. But it's kind of like a 70s groovy sound, and I really like it, especially a song called Suddenly. Check it out.
Okay, great. We turn it to Lamar.
Just say it. So, how do you do
that? You didn't pick up on our coded language.
People can follow
your social media and things you want people to look at, and then something else you like that has nothing to do with it.
Gotcha. I would like to lift you all up at Profmatic. It's just on Instagram. And I would like to lift you up to go watch a movie called It's a Party on Showtime.
Oh, yeah.
It's on Showtime.
Friends of the show, Ego Wodum,
Carl Tart, Tone Bell, Tony Baker. You can lift all of their careers up by watching that movie.
Oh, yeah.
It's on iTunes and Amazon, too. Cool. And I would like to say that I recently was aware of this actress, and I kept seeing her around, and she was in Life in Pieces, and then I just watched a movie with her in it, and I'm just really think she's great. I want to lift her up by saying Zoe Lister-Jones.
Oh, yeah.
Is really talented. Mm-hmm. And I worked with her. I saw her at New Girl. That was the first time I seen her. She worked on that show, but she's a really talented person. Yeah. I don't know.
Terrific. That's great.
Did I do that right?
She's lifted up, and the Lord sees her now.
Yeah.
And he didn't before. He's like, where's Zoe? And now he sees her. You can lift me up at Kevin T. Port everywhere. I'll lift up. I like the new Vampire Weekend album. I think it's good. Father of the Bride.
Oh, I got to check that out. Yeah.
That's the Trilly influence.
Yeah, a little. We were talking about it the other day. And kind of broing out about it. Because what do men do if not bro out about
Vampire Weekend?
Yeah, I guess so. And you can lift us up at Christian Fun Pod everywhere, patreon.com/goodchristianfun. Leave us a review. Every review you leave, we donate a dollar to the charity Shatterproof for the month of May. That's it, right?
Yeah.
We did it.
We hit it.
Lamar, thanks so much for doing the show.
Oh, thanks for having me.
This was so fun.
Yeah. I know it took us a while to get it going, but I'm glad I...
No, it was great.
I'm glad we got to get over here.
It was all good. We're going to be very self-aware after this episode.
This music is very meditative right here.
Yeah, feel free to use it next time.
I mean, all I can think about is just like, house is exploding right now.
I know.
It feels really good.
Oh, man.
And there's nothing left to say except for in all of Pod's people said amen. What song should we go out on? Is there a Christian song at all, like, that you know or like?
Pony.
That's not a Christian. Well, it's a holy experience. What's not a Christian song?
Should we hear Jesus Walks?
Oh, yeah.
Should we listen to that?
Sure.
Right. Ooh, that's a good idea.
We're going out with Jesus Walks by Conway West.
Oh, boy.
Hey, everybody. We at war. We at war. Terrific. All right, we'll see you next week. Goodbye. But most of all, we at war with ourselves. God, show me the way because the devil's trying to break me down. That was a HeadGum Podcast.